This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
I can't wait until we start talking about the Christmas annual.
Well, I actually wanted to ask you why I even bothered reading the holiday special.
See, okay, let me pull it open real fast because I cheated a little bit, okay? By that, I mean all the nonsense with Harley Quinn, you know, where she was on stage and whatever.
Yeah, whatever she was doing.
Yeah. I totally skipped that until it was the actual stories.
Yeah, I did that too. I read the first page, and I started reading the second page where it's whatever, I guess, like the first like splash page thing where or whatever, not the splash page, the title page.
Yeah, right.
And then I read that, and then I start reading the third page, and I'm like, what am I doing? I'm like, yeah. I don't like this Harley Quinn style, so I'm just going to skip it. So I think I did the same thing you did. I skipped to all of the stories. But
Now, there's some that I did like. I mean, I don't know if I liked them all. I guess, but since I read a lot of realistic, dark, and grim type stuff, you know, and for us, the Christmas, the last like 3 years haven't been joyful times because there's always been a family member that's passed a couple of weeks before.
Okay.
So, and like this year, hopefully, knock on wood, it hasn't happened yet, you know? But, like, so it's more, like, into, I guess, the good feel stories, I guess.
Right.
And some of them are pretty cool concept, I think. Some of them have no connection with DC Rebirth, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then some do. And so it was, like, that little extra nudge or that little... The little thing, like the first story by Tim Seeley, and
that's the Superman Batman one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Ian Churchill.
Right.
That one was kind of cool. I liked it. I mean, because it's you know what it reminded me of. Honestly, it reminded me of Jingle All the Way.
Oh my goodness!
Right. Well, I meant just concept wise.
Okay.
Right. Because. You know, they're Superman and Batman are battling this something.
Right.
The color spectrum monster, it looked like. Because he's red, yellow, green, white. And then there's that hot toy that everybody wants. And then, you know, he only has like 16 hours before, or 16 minutes rather, before the stores close.
Yeah.
So Superman rushes off, and then, like, Damian ends up with a toy.
Yeah, see, I thought was kind of funny. How he keeps trying to get it, and, you know, he can't find it anywhere. Everything's sold out, of course. And Damian's got it. And I just think it's funny. My favorite part was at the end, where he's like, did you know about this? And Bruce Wayne's like, I am the world's greatest detective, but I had absolutely no idea.
See? And Clark and Jonathan have the same ugly sweater on.
And Lois, too.
Oh, yeah.
The three of them had him.
Yeah.
The
so it's
kind of
cool, like, to actually, like, see Damian be a kid, I guess.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it puts that little tight little bow on that to where... You know, Clark was actually disappointed because he didn't get the last toy because Damian beat him to it, and he was disappointed, and then, lo and behold, actually Damian does something nice, you know, which is uncharacteristic. But then you have more Harley Quinn, Rudolph stuff that I skipped.
Yeah, the next, I think next the was next one, the crypto story.
Yeah, the crypto story, which was Eric Esquivel.
Yeah,
and
there were a lot of people on this book that I am unfamiliar with their work. At least by name.
Yeah, at least Dan Juergens did the layouts and whatever.
Right.
Which is...
But, I mean, it seemed like this issue was kind of a, you know, hey, let's give some people a tryout and see what they can do with our characters.
Right. You know what my favorite one was, though? Out of all of these stories?
Gee, I don't know.
Because we have the Detective Chimp and then the Batman one, right? And then we have Constantine and then Wonder Woman one. And then, who else? And then we have the Flash one and yada, 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 right?
Yep.
Which I thought they were all, like, hit home pretty good. Like, I like the Flash one because it was about the foster kid who didn't think Santa was going to get there. And then, you know, the Rogues, like, and Flash called a truce for the holidays or whatever, right?
So yeah, I think James kinda cool. James Tynion wrote that, right?
Yeah. Sure did. My favorite one, though, was the Detective Chimp and the Batman one.
Okay.
Because I've always liked the Detective Chimp. And I haven't seen him, which you guys might have seen him, who's read DC since then. But, like, I haven't seen him since 52, I think.
The only thing I remember seeing him in is he showed up in one of the years of the Injustice comic.
Okay.
But, like, when he showed up in there, I was like, oh, great, Detective Chimp, like, this is awesome. And then, you know, he was there for a while, and that was it. And then this is the next time I've seen him.
Right. Well, I remember him from 52,
right,
the event, because he was trying to figure out, like, the Helmet of Fate and that type of thing.
Okay.
And it was just, the story was dumb. I mean, not dumb, but, like, it had that, you know, the dog, the missing dog that was actually Rudolph, you know,
mm-hmm.
and whatever, but it was Detective Chimp. That was the whole reason I liked it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I know you didn't enjoy the whole special, but...
Yeah, I mean...
And it was, what, $9.99?
Yeah, right? $10 freaking dollars for this. I mean, I get it. It's a lot of pages.
Yeah.
But, I mean, come on. If you're going to give me that, give me something good. Like,
And a lot of pages that you skipped.
I skipped a lot. I skipped the interwoven story with Harley Quinn. I skipped the new Superman story. I skipped the Batwoman story because the art on that... Like, I started reading it, and I was like, man, I can't even read this, so I just skipped it. I think the art on the Constantine Wonder Woman story was the best. Okay. I liked the art style on the Green Lanterns one, even though I didn't like the story that much. Uh-huh. I thought that it was kind of a... I don't know. It felt like kind of a cop-out how everything was just like, oh, yeah, you solved it. Oh, yeah, you passed this. Oh, yeah, you did that. Good. You're all good. We'll see you. Like, I mean, I felt like this story could have been a couple pages longer and
right.
added a little more depth to it.
See, like, the Flash one was still wrote by James Tynion, and the art was by Robbie Rodriguez. So, I mean, he still had the same... Flash writer, right?
No. Flash is, what's his name? Josh Williams?
Well, what's Tynion do then?
Detective.
Oh, okay.
Williamson.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know. Like you said, there was some art that was good and some that was not so good.
Right.
Throughout the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, just overall, it was kind of a letdown.
I liked it, so you could be the Scrooge if you want.
That's fine. I will accept that. I'm perfectly okay with that. But
since, you know, Daryl's hanging out with his famous writer friend this weekend and couldn't record with us, and Martin has family holiday stuff to go to, because we were going to have a super epic battle between the both of them.
Yeah, I think it might time itself better next week when there's the new issue of Batman.
Yeah.
So, we shall see.
Which will be fun for both of them.
Yeah. Was this issue of New Superman the end of the arc, the first arc?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I skipped it. I see the cover has Starro.
Yeah.
Are you... I mean, you're still all in on this one, right?
Yeah. This one was pretty good, really. It is what it is. Like, this issue reminded me so much of Invincible.
Okay.
Still, you know, because only different.
Only not
because
good.
Because his dad, him, well, him and his dad were working together, you know, his dad being evil, which is how it started out.
Right.
But, I mean, it's just a fun, it's like one of those fun reads where it's not too complex and you don't have to overthink it. And, you know, once you read it, you're done. And you're like, okay, that was okay, or that was good. And then you put it down and move on. Instead of like some of the other ones that we read and we think about it after we put it down.
Yeah. I might grab the first trade of this when it comes out and give it a shot as a story. You know, like read the whole arc together because maybe it'll play out better. But
right.
I mean, I don't know. I just don't care. That's so. For me, knocking a couple books off my to-read list is a help.
Is a plus.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same thing with, what was the one? Superwoman.
See, this issue of Superwoman, I'm going to have to consult with Mike Myers and Daryl on.
Okay.
Because I don't have that rich history of DC stuff like they do.
Okay.
And I like the concept still. I really do. Because this is more like... I get the feeling that this is more like... You know how Marvel has your iconic heroes and then they have the street-level heroes?
Mm-hmm.
That aren't as iconic, I guess.
Right.
Not that Superwoman's a street-level hero, but that's how... This book makes me feel like there's more superheroes besides the big names.
Interesting.
And I like the concept that she's still struggling with her sanity. Whether we all know that like Lois isn't there, but she's still talking to her.
Okay.
You know, the dead one. And but when she is talking to her, like John Henry Irons is there, and he thinks that. She's answering him when she's actually talking to the other Lois.
Okay.
And so, and it has Natasha in it, which is John's niece, and then her girlfriend, which is another superhero.
Right.
But they're not like the mainstream superhero. So, I like the aspect of what's going on with it, and the art still isn't bad for me.
Okay.
So, and the whole plot concept of the whole thing is like, you know, her trying to keep it together, and then she knows that it's inevitable that she's going to fade away like Lois did.
Okay.
Or like their new Superman, or their Superman did, the new 52 Superman did.
Right.
So, that whole interwoven storyline, plus the Lena Luthor super... power.
Yeah, I saw she was like Ultra Woman or something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Again,
it's another one. Maybe I'll give the trade a shot, but...
Yeah, I know. But yeah, I enjoyed this issue. There's a couple things, like I said, that I have questions with that I'm going to have to consult them about, but...
Okay.
I didn't want to do it before we recorded and then be like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. Like I knew the whole time, you know?
Right. Huh. The other one, I think I finally I've decided I'm going to be dropping Supergirl.
Yeah, I don't think I'll drop it, but yeah, I wasn't too hot on this issue, really.
I kind of gave up partway through this one. A lot of... I mean, I haven't been too big on the story, but I enjoyed the art style. And the thing that kills me is I really like Steve Orlando. That I like his writing style, but I just don't care for this story. You know, it's I think I said it the last time there was an issue. I stopped watching the TV show because, you know, the reasons I don't like the comic.
Yeah, right.
You know, that it was when, you know, the end of the New 52 Green Arrow book turned into Arrow on TV when the people from the TV show took it over. It's like, you know, I enjoy the TV show, but I was enjoying the comic book, and I don't want the exact same thing.
Yep, exactly. So,
but also, like, this Supergirl issue, a lot of the art was really unfinished.
It's scratchy?
Yeah, it's scratchy, and I mean, I get, you know, how sometimes in the backgrounds, you know, they'll, like, not put full faces on people.
Right.
You know, or something like that. But I mean, on, like, the second or third page of the comic where Cyborg Superman is landing, he has no face. Half of his body is totally unfinished. I mean, it looks like...
See, yeah.
I don't even know.
At that time, all of the cyborgs were landing, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, not only that...
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, so I didn't know if that was actually Cyborg Superman or another cyborg that had a cape on.
Right.
You know what I mean? I couldn't differentiate the two.
Yeah, and I mean, you'd think at least the main one they would draw your focus to, but instead my focus is drawn to the guy with the mustache who's running in the foreground.
Yeah.
You know? But then you go to the panel below where he's landing, and none of the police officers have faces. Their guns just look like a square. You know, the crowd... I mean, it's very, very... You know, I mean, I don't know if it was... Hey, we need these pages by now. And the guy's just like, oh, okay. And just quick scribbled two panels together and sent them in.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, this isn't even like a double shipping book, so it's not like they're rushing 2 weeks.
Right, right.
But.
Yeah, I agree. Like, at first... This book seems like the TV show.
Right.
Which was bad for me, because I don't like the TV show. Which, I guess I shouldn't say that, because I've only gave it like 15 minutes of the first episode of the first season, so I really didn't give it a fair shake. But it was hitting on all those things, but then, like, you know, issue 2 and 3 came out, and I was like, oh, okay, I can see where I can kind of get on board with this, and then now here lately it's just been back to feeling like the TV show again. Right. So yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah. I guess let's go to something good.
Okay.
Want to talk about Wonder Woman?
Sure.
This book, I mean, for a book that I hated the first 6 or 7 issues of. You know, I mean, the year one stuff was good, but like the current storyline of Wonder Woman, I think, is fantastic.
Yep.
I like, you know, I mean, this one takes place, I guess, right after the last one where she, you know, stopped the guys in the mall.
Right, yeah.
But I love how Wonder Woman is being written in this situation, because, I mean, in a way she seems very childlike because everything is new. You know, like, I mean, all the experiences, she's still trying to grasp the language and, you know, things that are going on. She still isn't sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, I really enjoy what they're doing with the character.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, the story itself is terrific. I liked, yeah. You know, they have, you know, the people are captured and none of them are saying anything.
Right.
And of course, you know, she's got the lasso of truth. So she's just like, oh, I'll talk to them. And, you know, now you find out what actually is going on. But the whole thing, you know, with Barbara, you know, talking to her, you know, about, you know, the symbols and, you know, where she saw it and the guy at the dig, you know, that we saw what happened in that last, you know, in her story issue.
Right.
You know, I like when her and Steve are training and she's got this like, you know, just like a goofy smile on her face as he's shooting her and she's blocking the bullets and like throwing tanks.
Yeah.
And, you know, then she comes back and she's thirsty. So she grabs the soda and, you know, she gags and spits it out. And, you know, because it's super sugary and whatever else.
Right.
I mean, that's like, you know, it's exactly like my kids who would, like, take a sip of soda and be like, oh, my goodness, it's burning my mouth. Like, I'm not going to drink that. It's, I don't get carbonation.
Right, right.
You know, because it's obviously something she had never come across.
Right.
The only thing...
Go ahead. Yeah.
...that I don't understand about this issue is... haven't they, in Rebirth, talked about her history? Like, she's made mention of the fact that she was the god of war. And, you know, other things that happened in the New 52 run. Right? Like, am I just completely remembering that wrong?
No. I mean, yes, they have. But I thought, like, the last issue of Wonder Woman made her... think that everything was a lie or whatever.
The last
Wonder Woman issue
Of New 52 or of this?
Of this, because like where she realized that she hasn't been home ever since she left, even though she thought she had, and you remember that?
Yeah, no, I do. I do remember that. I'm trying to think. You know, I don't know. Maybe it did. Because I wasn't reading it that way.
Okay.
Because, like, at the end of this, when Ares shows up...
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I've been waiting to meet you, but...
Yeah.
Like, she... If you read the previous story stuff, like, they obviously know each other.
Right.
You know? And although I was totally spacing on the last issue, I just remembered the parts where she's like, oh, yeah, I did this, I was this, I did that, you know, this happened, and... You know, so when he showed up at the end, I was like, why is he saying he wants to meet her? Like, don't they know each other?
Well, see, and that's because that's the way I took it, because, like, she had that, like, emotional breakdown last issue where, you know, I think she was even, like, crying right there with Steve right there, where she was like, and I've never, all the stuff that I thought I knew, I don't know, because I just realized that I've never been home. I haven't been back home since I left or whatever.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is this still, I mean, this is still two different stories, right?
Yeah, it looks like they're kind of holding off on the year one stuff for another week.
Okay.
That it's been like two or three issues of this. I guess.
Well, this is year one, part five.
Is it?
Yeah.
Then last
by Greg Rucka and Nicholas Scott.
Last week was also year one stuff, right? Or was last? No, last week the last issue last was week. The one where she went back to Themyscira.
Right. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I'm getting totally jumbled up. Okay. Yeah.
So see this. I mean, this could set up the whole thing that she doesn't remember anyway.
Yeah, that's true. That could be it.
Because it's year one stuff, so... I mean, I didn't... Because we're getting... This is like flashback story.
Yeah, I mean, it's when she first shows up.
Right. So... So this could be her and Ares' first meeting.
Right.
But, yeah, the art's great in it. There wasn't anything that I saw that was, like, out of place or, like, squinting to make sure I knew what was what,
yeah. You know.
And then, like, the tree definitely has something to do with the whole thing.
Right.
That's like where she got bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, maybe this whole thing is like a fever dream.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I hope not, but...
Right. Hope they don't pull a Seinfeld on us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm same with you. Like, the first couple of issues, I was just like, nope, nope, nope.
Yeah.
But then, like, for me, I started liking it a couple of issues before the Barbara eccentric issue.
Okay.
And then that's, like, when you started liking it, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, the year one storyline I thought was more interesting, but it wasn't, yeah. It wasn't totally gripping me.
Right.
I mean, there's been... I mean, so many different tellings of her origin.
Right.
You know? Yeah. But I was definitely more interested in that than I was the present stuff with that the cult, mm-hmm. which I guess this is all leading up to. But yeah, but that Barbara issue was easily my favorite out of, you know, out of all this stuff so far.
Right.
And then pretty much every issue since then has been way, way, way better.
Yeah, see, that's what I was saying. Was like a couple issues before that issue is when I started really liking it and started actually getting into the story, both stories.
Right.
But that was when everything started clicking for you, yeah. Basically.
Yeah. One book... I think this is the best it's been in a few issues, but, I mean, Action Comics, I liked this issue a lot more than I've been liking the more recent issues.
Okay.
But I just don't know if I care.
Okay, yeah. Because this one I have kind of an issue with.
Okay.
Well, I'm with you too. I'm not sure if I care enough about the story. So that's why I'm not enjoying it as much as I had.
Right.
But, no, maybe it comes over with... Is this where it shows the people that's captured? Or is that Superwoman?
What do you mean, the people that's...
Or Hal Jordan? No. There's an issue. I think it's okay. Well, this is okay. I read
signs you read too many comic books.
Yeah, well, you know how the collector has like different things, right?
Right.
Well, Clark Kent's in one of them, right? Like the original Clark Kent.
Did I miss that?
The one that's powered down or whatever.
I didn't notice that in this.
Okay, so that's what threw me off is like he's been in action, right? And
right.
In Superman. But like in Superwoman, he's caught in like in a little stasis field type thing. Maybe it's not Superwoman. Yeah, one of the problems of reading everything, right?
Yeah, this does not sound familiar to me, so maybe it is Superwoman?
Maybe, yeah.
But I got no idea.
Keep going, because I'll look it up.
Okay, here. I mean, I did like that in action we got to see the backstory of the people who are coming for Lex. You know, mm-hmm. at least that, you know, finally explains what's going on, other than, you know, we have these random characters who will just show up in Minority Report people who are, you know, who are just going to apparently commit genocide.
Right. Yeah, and it is in... Lena has them captured in, like, little stasis cubes. Like, she even has, like, a horse and a car and a shark and everything. And she has...
What book is that?
Superwoman.
Oh, okay.
And it has... John Henry Irons' brother, also, and then it has the ordinary Clark Kent, and then it has the Flaming Skull guy. I can't think of his name, though.
Ghost Rider.
Well, he looks like Ghost Rider, only the flames are green. But, and I think he's a bad guy. But anyways, that was the part that, like, threw me out of sync, I guess.
Right.
Because I was like, well, what the hell is he doing there if I just seen him in action or...
Yeah.
Because he's up on whatever it's called now, not the Daily Planet, right?
Yeah, whatever the building is.
Yeah. But you're right, though. At least we got it flushed out.
Right.
Of who these guys are. Now, did you get the feeling that the main guy, the Exo Man of War looking guy?
Right, the guy with the beard. Not the guy with the horns, the human looking guy.
Yeah, right. Well, obviously, he's guilt ridden and wants to quit for obvious reasons.
Well, he does quit.
Well, yeah, but, like, they bring him back, though.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's the reason why they're there.
Yep.
I don't know. I liked it because it made it more personable for him.
Okay.
But also, like, the other two, the woman and then the other person with the horns.
Right.
The other creature. They could have made him do it anyways.
Yeah,
I got
but...
that feeling.
I mean, but I think the way that they're setting it up, he's going to probably end up...
helping.
Yeah, helping, you know, not kill
Lex. That's foreshadowing, just like I had another issue with another comic that we're going to talk about later.
Okay. But, I mean, I think if it was more they forced him to do it, I think that it would be way more obvious... and he would probably play his hand much sooner.
So cool, okay,
I kind of like that. You know, the guy just showed up and basically explained the situation, and he's like, "No, like you don't get it. Darkseid is dead. This guy is worse." And I don't understand how Lex is going to be worse than Darkseid. But
wasn't he though?
I mean, I guess. But I mean, come on. He's just kind of a dick. Like the other guy's, has god powers.
Well, but wasn't he? Didn't he take over?
Yeah, at the end of whatever. All the members of the Justice League were various.
Convergence.
Yeah.
No.
Was it Convergence?
I don't know.
No, it was the Darkseid War. Darkseid War.
Oh yeah. Because I didn't read that, but I knew that Lex took over for Dark. Side and then
Batman was Mobius.
Had the chair. Yeah.
It don't bother.
all right.
It had its moments, but overall, it was kind of sloppy. I thought. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just one of those things where I don't care about this Lex. I liked the first few issues of Action Comics, where it was focusing on, you know, on, I guess, more of his trying to come to grips with being on the Earth as, like, the Superman book was him dealing with his family.
Right.
And it seemed like this one was him dealing with everything else, I guess, you know, the whole Clark, like, why is there still a Clark here?
Yeah.
But now that, you know, it kind of shifted gears more off onto, you know, Lex as Superman, you know, and whatever else, I'm not as interested.
Yeah, the whole Lex being good dynamic sucks for me anyway.
Yeah, I liked it at first, but, I mean, after a little bit, it's just like, all right, you know, let Lex be Lex.
Yeah, right. And I guess I shouldn't say that it sucks for me, but because I enjoyed it, but it's like now it's like you said, it's run its course and it's just blah 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 because it's not adding anything to his character really for me.
Right.
Because I mean, he's still a douche dick, right?
Yeah.
It's just Lex, but now he's doing good stuff.
Yeah, what ruined that whole storyline for me was when he basically became a member of the Justice League and got to know all of their secret identities and everything else. I was just like, you know, I mean, you know that's going to come back and bite them in the ass at some point.
Right, right.
And in some massive way, but I don't know. I'm just not, you know, I mean, Action's still, it's still a good book, but.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's not the worst book of the week, but it's not the best book of the week either.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's weird, because Action's usually, like, right up towards the top.
Yeah,
but
right.
This one, it definitely, this is definite, like, middle of the packer, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I can agree with that.
What did you think of Batgirl and the Birds of Prey?
Oh, boy. you know, I was loving this story.
Okay.
Like 2 issues ago, right? Like, and then now we get to this, and it annoyed the piss out of me.
Why is that?
Just because I don't...
you don't care about the new Oracle?
Yeah,
for me that was kind of a letdown reveal. That I was hoping it was going to be something much cooler than just some random kid who, you know...
Is a stalker, like, obsessively...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do like... The one thing I did like was when Batgirl basically came back as Oracle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's sitting with her, watching her do her thing, and not only is she leading the mission, you know, and giving the advice and looking the stuff up, you know, on the computers.
Right.
How she's also researching the guy that's sitting next to her. I thought that was kind of amusing.
Yeah.
But,
well,
I mean, it showed that this kid is not an Oracle level.
No. Right. And that was the whole thing, is like, through the whole, since the reveal, the rest of it was like knocking him down to like where he's not even in their league, really.
Right.
Does that make sense? Or at least in Babs' league. Because like she's doing like 3 things at once, and then he's like, because of all the mob money's going to the charity, and then, you know, whatever.
Right.
And then she was like, no, he's good people. And I was like,
what? Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's just a dumbass.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It was a letdown, so maybe that's why I was, like, negative on him from the get-go.
Okay.
But, like, his whole backstory and stuff didn't matter to me, really. It didn't hit me.
Yeah, I mean, if he had some, like, famous Gotham name, you know, like a last name or something of some, you know, another of, like, the big Gotham, either crime families or, like, a business, you know, something,
right.
And that he was connected in that way, I could see me caring more about him as a character, but right. Making him just some random weird guy,
yeah,
like you said, just kind of, it definitely knocked my interest down. A couple things that I thought was weird. And I went back and kind of flipped through the first issue of Birds of Prey again. They did not know Huntress at the beginning of this series.
Right.
And the guy, what's his name, Gus or whatever, he's talking about, you know, oh, he's so happy that the whole team is back together.
Right.
Like, they're the OG team. And I was like, no. You know, like, I guess Oracle and Black Canary work together, so maybe that's what he's talking about. But he seems to know who Huntress is, because he says her name, and she's like, say my name one more time.
Right.
You know, so it was...
Yeah. See, and that's... And, like, Black Canary and the Huntress banner is what I thoroughly enjoyed.
Right.
Like, if you take his parts out of it, it's a great book.
Okay, well, the one thing I liked with him was how he figured out Batman's secret. For me, I thought, well, exactly, but I thought that was great. He's like, I figured it out. Like, there's no way Batman has to be six people. You know, and of course, she's panicking, like, oh my God, like, what do you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, there's no way he could work with the Justice League and take care of Gotham and do, you know, like, and do this right. and do that. Like, he's got, and she's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He goes, I knew it. That I thought was funny. I thought
the big reveal at the end is cool for me. That made me want to more excited to get the next issue than the whole new Oracle thing.
Okay. I'm trying to remember.
Where Huntress can't take the shot because it's her mother.
Oh, yeah, it's her mother. Yeah.
But, okay, so what's the green mask?
Which?
Well, you know, like when he's having a flashback of like telling the story about, well, Oracle did this and Oracle did that, or maybe Oracle was this, and they got the stupid Jim Carrey like green mask on.
Oh, I think that's just in his head.
Oh.
You know, because nobody knew who Oracle was.
So it's just a face that you can relate to, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he just had the mask on or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, just running through, either, you know, she took the money or she was on the run or, you know, the CIA or whatever took her out or something. Because he didn't know if it was male or female, didn't know anything.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm still trying to figure out if I liked or didn't like when he brought up Black Canary's singing career.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know, oh, I liked it. A lot of people didn't think that you should be the singer in a band, but I liked it. It was a new direction or something. I guess taking shots at people who didn't like the comic, which was, in my opinion, I did not like the comic. I thought it was the opposite of entertaining. But
well, it was kind of like that through his whole spread, right?
Yeah.
Because like, he was like, you know, you're a bad girl. And then Barbara Gordon had back surgery, and then Oracle showed up on the scene.
Right.
And then she had back surgery again, and then Batgirl shows up again, and Oracle disappears. So that's kind of cool that at least the Killing Joke is in canon.
Right? Yeah.
Which I guess maybe it always has been in Rebirth. And this is just me noticing it, but
see, it's funny. Like, I just assume like everything, because in all of the different books, most of the things, you know, even if you don't think that they have a lot of the stuff, they'll still reference, and you're like, oh well, I guess that did happen with this.
Yeah. Well, and there's obviously three Jokers out there, but we haven't seen either a single one of them yet.
Right.
Anywhere. So, yeah. I don't know. I thought his aspect is the only part of the book that I didn't like. Other than that, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying their teamwork. I'm enjoying the banter between the three of them, and then especially towards him, you know?
Yeah.
Because it felt like it was actually in their character.
Yeah, I agree. I also enjoy the art style of the book. You know, it's similar to the Batgirl style, but it's a little less anime-ish.
Yeah, it's a little cleaner.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah. You know, what book would you like to talk about next? We got a bunch left.
Yeah. What about Hal Jordan?
Sure.
What did you think about it?
I liked it. I did not like the art. I guess this is the first one that didn't have...
You didn't like what?
The art? Yeah.
Because Raphael wasn't doing it?
Yeah, who did this one? Ed Benes, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, some of the pages look fantastic, and other pages I was just like, eh, you know... I don't know if it was not rushed, but it doesn't look like, you know, as much care was put into it.
Right, yeah.
You know, like, there's the one page where it's got, you know, like, Kilowog, you know, standing mm-hmm. there, and, the, you know, it's Brainiac is talking about all the species that they have and giving a mm-hmm. count.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's, like, you know, that panel looks fantastic with the four, you know, the four or five different people, and then, like, you go to the next page, and, you know, like, Guy and John Stewart, like, they just don't look right. Like, their perspectives yeah. are off on their faces, and... You know,
yeah,
but
it's hit or miss on different panels.
Yeah,
instead of just being consistently good. Miss or consistently good.
Yeah, but I did enjoy the stuff with Kyle. I thought that Hal inside, you know, the willpower where the lanterns go once they, you know, when they fall. I thought him yeah. talking to all of the old lanterns and
yeah.
them asking, you know, oh, what happened to my son? He's like, oh, you know, he took over your ring. He's like, oh my goodness, let him know, you know, he has no idea how proud I am.
So Marie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got, you know, the other one is like, oh, you know, what happened? He's like, oh, you know, I'm sorry. You know, this happened or that happened or whatever. Like, I enjoyed that.
John's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they're missing. We don't know where they are. I don't know what's going on.
Right.
No, but it was great seeing, you know, I mean, leave it to Rob Venditti to bring every single dead Green Lantern back, you know, in an organic way in a right. story and make, you know, so that he can use characters again.
Right. And then, okay. So, in the Green Lanterns book, right,
mm-hmm.
Frank is trying to control the Phantom Ring, right?
Yes.
So, Hal can control the Phantom Ring anyway? Because Ganthet tells him that he's the only one who's mastered all spectrums.
No. He's saying that to Kyle, because the White
yeah,
Lantern...
Right. Oh, did I say Hal?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Ganthet was saying that to Kyle, right?
Right. I assume that I've always sort of assumed that the Phantom Ring was very much like the White Ring.
Okay.
Except with the White Lantern Ring, Kyle can use the different colors of the spectrum, but he mm-hmm. doesn't become those colors of the spectrum.
He can just use them?
Yeah, like he can use the powers of it, whereas, okay. you know, it looks like, you know, with the Phantom Ring, you become...
Whichever spectrum it is.
Yeah, I mean, you become rage or fear or, you know, avarice or whatever.
Right. And I kind of... I like how Aven, like, talks Hal through it.
Right.
Which, you know, like, Hal's always that cocky, pompous ass type person anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And then... for him to doubt himself, I guess, was kind of weird. You know, like, why did you choose me? Was it just because I was there? Or, you know, whatever.
Right.
And then I thought that whole one-on-one conversation with Aven was cool.
Oh, yeah. That was part of, probably my favorite part of the whole book, where, you know, he's like, I mean, I only said, you know, like, four words to you before I died or you know,
right,
whatever.
Right.
And, you know, he's like, you have to ask yourself how you've overcome, you know, all these things and how you've done this so fast and, you know, everything else. Like, I thought that was great because, I mean, yeah, he has his ring, but you knew that he was Sinestro's mentor.
Right.
You know, and Sinestro was the one who kind of took Hal under his wing.
Right.
But, you know, he's never spoken, you know, to him before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was really interesting to see, you know, obviously they know who each other is.
Right.
But I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah. Because it was like a conversation that you would have with somebody like that.
Right.
Like all the questions that Hal was asking would be the right questions that I would ask.
Yeah.
Or I would like to think I would ask, I guess, instead of being like, where the hell am I?
Right. Yeah, and I did like the ending of the issue a lot.
I figured you would.
You know, because, I mean, yeah, it's kind of weird that Brainiac would be going after the Green Lanterns. You know, like, I was thinking, I was like, I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, he does kind of collect everything, so I guess I could see that. But when the Brainiac bot hands the little, like, not snow globe, but the capsule thing over, and it's Larfleeze, I was like, oh, hell yes. That is exactly, that is where I wanted this to go.
But why would Brainiac work with him, though?
I mean, maybe he's not.
What do you mean? Maybe he's not.
I mean, maybe Larfleeze somehow got control of one of the robots.
Okay. So that's not, like, the Brainiac?
No. It's, you know, because Brainiac can't be everywhere at once. He's got different collector bots, I guess.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's his main ship, right?
Did they show the ship?
Yeah. It was, like, the very first page. You don't know? You don't remember that?
Oh, yeah.
So that's the whole point, is, like, there has to be a trade there somewhere, right?
Hmm.
Because, yeah, it's the very first, the actual, literally, the first page.
Yeah, but it might, I don't know, it might not be. It looks, I don't know, it looks like it could be just a smaller version of the floating skull with tentacles. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
You're probably right.
Yeah, I'm not. I just, there's got to be more to it than just that.
Yeah.
You know? And honestly, I'm actually glad that they used that version of Brainiac, too.
Because
that's the one that voice of the all the versions of Brainiac that there's been.
Right.
That one's, like, the most menacing and scares the piss out of me the most. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would be the most menacing and evil-looking one.
Right.
So that was kind of cool. Where do you want to go from here?
I don't know. You want to talk maybe Flash?
We can go Flash, yeah.
I liked and disliked this issue all at the same time.
All right.
I think I'm still not a fan of this new artist. That I said it before, I liked, in the original, like the first arc, I liked that it was kind of the Rush style because of the way they still used, you know, the Speed Force effects and stuff like that. And this one, it's the same, it's a similar style of art, but it doesn't have the Speed Force popping out and, you know, stuff like that. And it just doesn't resonate the same with me, I guess.
Okay, this art is terrible.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it. Because, like, if you go all the way, I'm trying to find it, to, like, the last page, I think it is. No, let me see. The last page with Wally and Barry on it. Like, Barry just looks dumb. Like, drawn dumb. I mean, granted, it's better than I can do. I just, it almost looks like a cartoon.
But it looks like an unfinished cartoon.
Yeah, like not a good cartoon.
Right.
But that was kind of the things that I kept noticing when I shouldn't be noticing it.
Right.
Like, there's the one with Iris and Wally and Shade and Mary. Is that her name, right?
I think so.
I think so. And then with Barry in the middle.
No, Hope.
As a Flash. Hope. Yeah. Hope. Well, it says right there on the word bubble. But, like, Barry looks dumb right there. Like, drawn dumb to me. And then, like, the next panel, it's Hope and Shade, and they're fine.
Right.
So I think it's, like, the inconsistency of it
yeah,
that I don't like.
That's what I was going to say. That there's a lot, like, Shade's face is drawn different in every single panel.
Yeah.
That he's in. Like, sometimes it looks great, and other times, like, I can't even describe.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I agree.
And the way that he draws Hope,
uh-huh,
in that, and like the corset top and whatever,
right?
Like, sometimes her breasts are like down at her waist, like with the shirt open and like just ridiculous, and other times it looks like, you know, an actual person,
right?
But I just, not for me.
Yeah, I like the concept of the story and everything, so it didn't feel like a cop-out or anything like that. And I liked the resolve stuff, where Barry actually gave Wally
a lesson.
And then, well, a lesson,
and
yeah,
then a chance.
But like hints, and hints isn't the right word, but like kind of let him in and
right,
gave him a reason for why he's not telling him who he is.
And I like the reason too. Like, it doesn't,
yeah,
it doesn't
right,
feel like
yeah,
a cop out reason.
Right.
You know,
exactly,
where
yes,
it makes sense. You know, I didn't get to grow up. You know, I don't want you to have to go through the same thing.
Right, right.
And I mean, how can you argue that?
Right.
You know, oh, you want me to have a good time? How dare you?
Right. And that was the running joke of the whole issue too, is like,
yeah,
Wally would call him by the wrong name.
Yeah, he's trying to guess
the name.
Which I
thought was funny.
Yeah, I enjoyed... See, that's part of my problem with this issue. I enjoyed the relationship building between Barry and Wally.
Mm-hmm.
That I thought that was done really well. That you can see... You know, it's a teenage kid poking his teacher.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And you see that relationship building and growing... And, you know, like, the story itself isn't bad, but then, like, you mix in the art and you mix in, you know, I'm just like, what is going on?
Yeah. No, overall, I enjoy it, really. Especially, like you said, it's the teenager poking and testing boundaries.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's the actual testing boundaries, and then other times it's just, like, testing boundaries without pushing buttons.
Right.
Like the, isn't that right, Brad?
Yeah.
Or isn't that right, Lance? You know, type of thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I like when he finally does give him the clue. He's like, can you
yeah,
give me anything? He goes, oh, okay, I was named after my grandfather.
Yeah.
And
right,
he's like,
yeah,
oh, well, at least it's something.
Yeah, right. And see, and that's, and I think I said it a couple of episodes ago, like, where I was like, why can't he just tell him, well, here's my answer. And
yeah,
it was a good answer. It wasn't just some lame-ass cop-out, like you said.
Yep.
So, I just wish the art would change, but other than that, I'm enjoying the book.
Yeah. Yeah, another one that, after talking about it the last time, I've been noticing the art more. The Suicide Squad.
Okay.
It's funny, like, I never thought about it until... I don't even remember who was talking about how it looks like 90s Jim Lee art.
Martin, I think.
Was it Martin? Yeah.
I think so.
And... Oh, yeah, because that was on during the... there was an issue released during the fifth week.
Yeah, right.
But, like, now I'm reading this and I'm just looking at it. I'm like, oh, man, like, this is totally 90s Jim Lee.
Yeah.
You know? But I still enjoy this series a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not exactly sure how they brought Captain Boomerang back. Like,
yeah,
that seemed like kind of a weird...
He was the turd in the computer and they flushed it.
Yeah.
She said that.
But, like, I mean...
Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't fully understand it myself, but...
Yeah, just all of a
it
sudden...
It was cool.
Yeah, I guess. But I like,
no,
how he's decided he's no longer Captain Boomerang, he's going to be General Boomerang.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, like the whole... Everybody had their whole stick thing, right? Like, Rick stabbed himself.
Yep.
So that way... And then just like Harley was telling Enchantress, because Waller wasn't as affected as everybody. She still was, but not as bad.
Right.
And then some wounds aren't external.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, and I also liked at the end when everyone was kind of going back to themselves.
Yeah.
When Harley was kind of sitting, you know, before.
And it looked like she was pouting or whatever.
Yeah, like she was contemplating the fact that, you know, oh, she was finally sane again.
Yeah.
You know, and now she knows that she's going to go back to having no control. Yeah. And then the next, you know, the next panel.
Yeah.
You know, you can see that she's gone from sane to insane again.
Yeah.
Just she's got the big eyes and the grin. Puddin.
And the pudding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy this.
Yeah. This
series a lot. Just because it's like the mixed match and it's the whole concept of it, you know.
Yep.
Making bad guys do what they don't want to do, or you're going to kill them.
Well, and that's what I like in the backup story.
Yeah.
When they're bringing in Killer Frost.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, I don't know how I either missed or forgot the fact that they're going to be doing a Justice League versus Suicide Squad.
Right.
I completely avoid solicits and everything. I just like to read, you know, when the books come out, I read the books.
Right.
And like this, when it's like, oh yeah, it's setting up for Suicide Squad versus the Justice League. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know what else too is like with Killer, okay, like this is the first one of the team that we haven't seen. Because they're bringing her in, right?
Yeah.
To be on the team. But like with the other ones, I didn't really always give a shit about Captain Boomerang, you know? So, or El Diablo, or whatever. And, yeah, like, the backstories actually not helped so much, but gave them more background, I guess, for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though I knew who they were, you know, but it...
Right. You're going to say didn't like when they're walking Killer Frost through and she's seeing everybody in their cells and Captain Boomerang's on the toilet.
Yeah. That,
he's like, come on.
Yeah, and then she's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that whole thing. And she thinks that El Diablo is beautiful.
Yeah.
Because she steals heat forces, you know. And I kind of like that attention to detail. It's like... you get shown their heat force on, I don't know if you noticed that or not.
Yeah, in this, yeah, as she's walking by.
Yeah, except for, like, I don't remember, Deadshot, maybe? Where she said that he didn't, he had a black heart or whatever.
No, that was, what's her face? That was June. Enchantress.
Okay, because, like, she didn't have a heat force.
Right.
Drawn on her at all.
Yeah, she actually had, not so much when she was June. I mean, you see a little bit in the shadowing, but she's got the computer.
Right.
But when she
right.
turns into Enchantress, she's got, instead of the heat, it's all black.
Right, yeah. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I like the art in this one, too. At first, it kind of bothered me that they drew Killer Frost like that.
Yeah, I don't like the
like
hair.
Like, War Mother style.
Yeah.
But then... I guess as it went on, I was like, oh, I can kind of see that. But then again, I didn't know. Like, the last time I seen Killer Frost was, like, way back when, and she had, like, white hair and, you know, stupid costume looking. So anything's better than that. But, like, going through the whole backup story, I can see how it actually fits where they're going with her.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me... I've always been a huge fan of the Flash Rogues Gallery and the Rogues. So anytime you're going to bring people from that in,
right?
Just give me more of them and I'm good. Anything else on Suicide Squad? Are you good?
I'm good.
I think this issue of Deathstroke.
Yep.
I liked it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I loved it.
Yep.
Like I had been.
Same here. Same here.
I very much enjoyed the fighting between Deathstroke and Superman. How, of course, Deathstroke would have some kind of ridiculous, you know, shield thing on his outfit.
Yeah.
That, you know, not only would it be able to take the punches, but it would turn the punches back into a weapon against Superman.
Mm-hmm. Right. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. For me, I liked it like that, and I liked how it was strategic against somebody like Superman.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it felt like Superman was just thrown into this book.
Yeah, it kind of...
You know what I mean? Like,
and in the last issue, it did kind of feel weird that he was there.
Just like 2 issues ago, Batman was thrown into the book. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe the numbers aren't doing good, so let's inject this.
No, but by the time...
Here. And then
they wouldn't have the numbers by the time.
Well,
I know that.
I'm just saying, like, that's how it felt. Like, they weren't. It didn't feel like they were there organically. You know what I mean? Like, the whole reason Superman was there was didn't feel right to me.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out this Superman. That he does sort of work with the government. He sometimes works with the Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
He does his own thing, but yeah, like, I don't know. Like, it was weird that the government sent him to talk to Aquaman. To me, you know, and now the government is sending him to do this with Deathstroke.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. That's the only. I think that's what gives me the okay for the book, and not the usual love we have for it.
Okay.
Because it didn't feel like it organically built up to where we were at in this issue with Superman, to me.
Hmm.
I don't know.
See, with all that being said, there were still a lot of things I really enjoyed about this issue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
I thought when Deathstroke is shooting Superman, yelling that it's kryptonite bullets.
Yeah, right.
But it's really just like cut up glow sticks, or whatever.
Yeah.
Was brilliant. You know, all, you know, of course, he's still, you know, he's still him. So he's going to get down there and shoot the guy. But I also liked at the end where, what is it? When Jericho?
Yes.
You know, when he shows up and he's like, oh, yeah, it's good. It's good that you were able to distract him, you know, and keep him distracted while I, you know, went down and found exactly what we were looking for.
Right.
And this also explains that picture, the panel from, like, a few issues. I don't even remember which comic it was in. It was one of the Superman books where he's dragging the boat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what... You know, you see that panel in here.
Yeah.
That right. This is the boat. So you're like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool how they're tying things together.
Right.
But.
Yeah, it like I said, I liked it because of the little things. Like, because you know that Deathstroke's not going to overcome Superman, you know.
Right.
Without the help of stuff. But. He was strategic in ways like where he used the icon suit and all that. So that was really cool. And it was just enough time for him to run away and do something else. It wasn't... It's not like he was trying to beat Superman or whatever.
Right.
So that aspect of it I liked. And I still like the whole Rose thing and Jericho thing, because, you know, I'm a big mark for Jericho, so I still like that.
Yeah. What do you think of about the ending? where, you know, she finds out that Richard isn't actually Richard.
Yeah.
And, you know, she deletes, you know, basically, like, factory restores her phone.
Yeah.
And just leaves it, and there's the guy who's obviously following her.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's getting, you know...
He picks up the phone.
Yeah, he picks up the phone, but also, you know, I mean, he's on her flight, it looks
right.
like.
Right, yeah.
So...
Which, I didn't understand the why he picked up her phone, but... I mean, because she just factory resetted it, right?
Yeah, but I mean, he doesn't know that, I guess. I would assume.
Well, yeah, but... I mean, if she just, like, tossed it on seat, then... And
yeah.
not slyly left it there, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Like I said, overall, this is an okay book. I just... There are certain issues with it that I kind of had problems with, but...
Yeah, I mean, I would still probably put it in my top three. Three or four.
Would you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's just, like, that little bit of, I don't get how we got to this point in
mm-hmm.
the story.
Mm-hmm.
But if you shut that part off, the story itself was great.
Right, yeah.
You know, I like the interaction with Deathstroke and Superman, and with
yeah.
Jericho, and with, you know, Ravager, and, you know, everyone.
And the AI Wintergreen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. This one misses the top three for me this week, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah. First time I think Deathstroke didn't make the top three for
Jeez.
Me.
That's it. Podcast is over.
Yeah. I was fired a couple of weeks ago, so I might as well just, like, screw it. I'll do what I want to now.
Another one that the two of us have been pretty high on, I think, the entire time so far,
mm-hmm.
is Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Yep. Top comic for me for the week.
This one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm... If it's not my favorite, it's definitely number two, I'd say. It's like, I really enjoyed Hal Jordan a lot.
Yep. I would say Hal Jordan probably my second.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So why was this one your favorite?
I just love Jason's voice in this.
Yes. Yep.
It feels like how I pictured Jason acting. And it has since the book started again.
Right.
Right? And Bizarro, I love how it's Bizarro, but it's not the big stupid I'm just here for muscle Bizarro.
Right.
Even though he kind of acts like that, but you can tell it's not.
Yep.
And then Artemis isn't just a knockoff Wonder Woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's Artemis, and you know, like, it's funny because she starts talking like Bizarro there for a minute, like when she's talking back to him.
Yeah.
I don't know. This book has been hitting on all cylinders, like,
yeah,
like it normally has.
I just had to say it again.
Just amps it up, yeah.
Dexter Soy is destroying on the art on this book.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this book, every issue, it just looks so spectacular. And also, like you were saying too, I fully appreciate that each of the characters feels like the best version of their character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, you know, Artemis doesn't just feel like, you know, some knockoff Wonder Woman or just, you know, like a random Amazonian.
Right. Yep.
You know, Bizarro isn't just, you know, just this idiot there that occasionally, like, destroys something.
Right.
You know, Black Mask is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the whole... This whole thing, the interaction between the characters,
yeah,
is terrific.
Yeah, the you whole smartassy back and forth, because she was like, "Oh, are you a wuss? Do you need to go to the hospital or whatever?"
Yeah,
and then like two panels later, she gets knocked out, and he's like, "Oh, well, do you need to go to the hospital?"
Yeah, yeah. And, like, he puts his arm on her shoulder, his hand on her shoulder, and she goes, "Don't touch me." Like, the last guy, you don't want to know what happened to the last guy who touched me or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, and not only that, there's the way that this issue sprinkled in the like the little panels here and there mm-hmm. of, you know, his past with Batman.
Right. Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
Was done so well.
And it's been done so well from the beginning.
Yeah.
We don't have to have the origin over and over again. It's yep. just sprinkled in flashbacks or whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, like the scene where he has, you know, Black Mask is in his sight on the gun.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, you got to finish this. You know, come on, this is how it works. You know, he's bad, you're good. But yep. then it cuts to the panel, you know, with Batman saying, he's like, you know, this is my city, these are my rules.
Right, yeah, exactly.
You know, and he's like, listen, as someone who was beaten to death with a crowbar, like, yeah. sometimes you just have to kill a guy.
Yeah. And he's like, well, your rules suck, or something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah. I mean, honestly, you know, he has a very, very different perspective
mm-hmm.
than Batman ever could.
Right.
So, but yeah, oh yeah, this whole thing, you know, just, this is such a spectacular book.
Yep. So if this wasn't your number one, what is your number one?
It might be Hal Jordan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But okay. I it's probably Red Hood, but okay. the majority of Hal Jordan, like the stuff inside the, you know, the Willpower place and the fact that Kyle Rayner is back, you know, as a Lantern, not as like a prisoner in Omega Men.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I've been enjoying it, but it mm-hmm. hasn't. But I mean, like, there have been other books like Deathstroke and Red Hood and Action Comics that come out. I mean, Detective that come out the same week that have just consistently, just like consistently been straight tens.
Right.
That it's been hard for it to crack. And this, you know, with Deathstroke, a little slip. I think Detective slipped a little bit.
Detective slipped a lot for me this issue.
Really?
This issue, I think, for me, was the worst issue of Detective since Rebirth for me.
Interesting.
You want to know why?
No. No, honestly, right, awesome. I'm not that interested.
Come back again.
No. So, yeah, so before you tell me why it was terrible.
Okay. Well, I'm not saying it was terrible. I'm just saying that it missed the mark for me.
Okay. I liked the way that it started off, where it was, I don't remember, a couple months ago, I guess,
mm-hmm.
where Batman is trying to put the team together, and he's mm-hmm. consulting with Tim.
Yes, yes.
And they're in, you know, that the bell tower place that was going to be their new base, I guess.
Yeah. It's still on the mark for me at this point. Yeah.
Okay. I really enjoyed that interaction because it's very much a Bruce and Tim interaction.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that the book, for the most part, kept that level up, but there were a few things that I was just like, huh, for.
Right.
So, I guess you tell me your thoughts and I will jump in if they're the same.
Well, I guess up until, I don't know, what is it, like the last quarter of the book, I guess.
Okay.
When they finally beat Edward Scissorhands. Right?
I guess it would be Edward Needlehands.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, really, really easy. So that kind of turned me off a little bit.
How did they defeat him really easily?
Well, because Batman just came there. Because while their kind of confrontation comes on, everything else is happening around them, right? Like Clayface was with Mudface, and
yeah, I mean everyone's kind of on a different level of building,
right? So I mean, he just Lucius or Luke, right?
Yeah, Batwing.
Yeah, made the thing so he can portal off again. And so then basically, you know, he just has to grab him, punch him a couple times.
Okay.
So, like, to me, it's like 5 issues of build-up. And then we're getting ready to cuff him. And then, oh, who didn't see Stephanie breaking down the door to turn on everybody?
See, I don't know if I necessarily saw her turning on everybody.
Really?
In the way that it happened. I kind of thought it would be more her turning her back. You know? Like they're in the middle of some kind of a mission. You know, they're like she finally comes back and they're in some kind of a something. And partway through, she's just like, you know what? I can't do this, and just leaves. And that ends up, like, screwing them up. You know, because that seemed to be the headspace that she's in.
Well, see, like, I thought, like, ever since Edward Scissorhands came talking to her through the window when she was in the hospital bed, mm-hmm. like, it was like a lighthouse beacon that it was going to end this way. Because now she only blames Batman, basically, for the reason why Tim's gone.
Right.
And so, what's the perfect way to get back at him? And, like, the issues between then and now has been, like, her wavering on if she really wants to do it or not.
Right.
And then, like, talking to AI Tim in the danger room there.
Yeah.
And he asked that simple question of, well, what world do you want to live in? And then she got that look on her face. And then I was like, oh, yeah, well, the Victim Syndicate was great. Great concept until the execution at the end here. Now, I liked how they systematically took everybody out.
Right.
You know? It made sense how they took everybody out. You know, Clayface took off his bracelet and gave it to her and then was able to zap her.
Yeah.
You
know? Now, is that he was able to zap her with the bracelet, or is that bracelet just kind of calibrated to him and it would not work with somebody else?
Because I
was trying to figure that out, and I even looked back, you know, at the first couple issues to see when he got it.
Right.
And I mean, I didn't notice anything that, you know, that said one way or the other.
Yeah. I assumed that it wouldn't work with her.
Right.
Like it started to, and then it shocked her because it wasn't him.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out. That's what I assumed.
But. And then the orphan thing was brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, she needs more screen time. Well, not screen time, but you know what I mean. Because I think she's, like, the best person, or my favorite person on the team, I guess.
Yeah,
and you had Batwoman with the fear toxin, and which was kind of over the top for me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because if Batman can't freaking outdo fear toxin, then what the hell makes Batwoman so special that she can for short periods of time.
Right.
But believable, I guess, since it was a very short period of time.
Yeah.
And she still was cold to Luke, so. Because he was like, well, thankfully my antidote worked or whatever.
Yeah.
And she was like, I didn't need it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a, you know, it wasn't like a, well, yeah, it might have worked, but I didn't use it. It was a, I didn't need it.
Yep. See, and for me, I've never been a big, like, Batwing fan.
Right.
You know, on occasion, he's not terrible. But the one, if I had a complaint, it's replacing Tim Drake with Batwing is not, that is so not an even trade.
Well, obviously Batwoman agrees with you.
Yeah. But
I don't know, that's just my two cents. It's like this whole story arc has been awesome, and then it just leads us to this, and I think it just fizzled for me, really.
Right.
Because now, if like they had like an epic battle with the victim syndicate, and then Stephanie like crashed in on them or whatever, then it would be okay. But like, not even to finish the battle. And she crashes in. It's like, so does that mean that she's the new leader and not Edward Scissorhands, the victim syndicate?
Well, it seems like she's kind of aligning with them.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. And we still didn't figure out his backstory, right?
Nope.
We still don't know that.
Nothing.
So
it's going to turn out to be that kid that's the new Oracle.
He's
upset.
Right up with it.
He's upset because Batgirl turned him down for being the Oracle, so he started the victim syndicate to get back at Batman.
Yeah, because, you know, he's not better than Kai. I don't know. I was trying to figure out but who it could be, but
yeah,
I don't have a theory.
After me trying to guess the Oracle and having that completely blow up in my face, I've just given up. Trying to figure this out. You know, but I mean, I think Detective for me is still, I would guess it would probably be like my fourth this week.
Really?
You know, I mean, it didn't slip a lot. You know.
Yeah. See, like my top three would be Red Hood, Hal Jordan, and then probably Suicide Squad, I would say. And then I don't know from there.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
Deathstroke, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me it's Red Hood, Hal, Deathstroke, then probably this, and then probably Suicide Squad. Oh no, yeah, probably Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Actually,
I put Wonder Woman
ahead of Detective, so that would be fourth.
Yeah, I would put Wonder Woman fourth as well.
Got anything else?
Nope. I think I've done my ranting.
Well, thank you for listening to Rebirthically. I am Aaron. You can tweet me directly at Aaron S. Bell. You can send your hate tweets about Detective Comics this week to RonBar316. You can tweet the show directly at NLRebirthically. You can email the show at rebirthically@gmail.com with any questions, comments, concerns, or hate emails towards Ronnie about Detective Comics.
Or anything else.
Or anything else. I mean, don't forget, he was trashing Jeff Johns and Grant Morrison.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and somebody else wasn't too hip on Grant Morrison either.
Yeah,
I think it was Russ.
You were listening to a back issue episode of Rebirthically. It was you.
Oh, well, that might have been it. I was like, whoa, who's that dude? Yeah. He's actually making sense.
Yeah, this guy sounds smart.
No, I think it was Russ on Gotham by Geeks with Daryl and Mike and Chris.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I'm a few behind on that one.
Yeah.
But I guess thank you for listening to Rebirthically. You can always find us on iTunes and leave iTunes reviews. And that is a podcast?